Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 90. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. This week we're going to be talking about our favorite escapist media, but I wish Netflix would just stop judging me. I will tell you when I am done. I am Brandon Uscio. Where's the save point? Joining us is Nick English.
Let's get on with the killing.
And backtracking a long YouTube chain is Jeff Dumas.
I started this watching a video about Minecraft, and now I'm watching one of the top 10 videos. It's such a long... That autoplay, I gotta turn it off.
Autoplay. Autoplay will keep you stuck to YouTube forever.
And then there's those videos, you've been doing this household task wrong. Okay, well then how am I doing it? How should I do it right? And then there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another one.
You mean I've been doing this wrong my entire life? Please show me how.
One of those actually made me legitimate mad. It was, you've been taking your shirt off wrong. I'm just thinking, does it get off your body? Then you're doing it right.
Okay, well, so this week the world has had a lot of commotion going on, whether it's election news or rioting or protests or whatever you're upset about. There, a lot of people are upset this week.
I don't know why people are complaining. I mean, this is how it was every day in South America when I was there. This is all normal.
You know what?
This is all normal.
This is America.
It's all because the Cubs won. It's all because the Cubs won.
It's true. I'm riding high on the Go Cubs Go. Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are going to win today and are world champions today. So that's what matters. I have my priorities in check, all right?
Unfortunately, we can't use any of that because it's all trademarked, so I'm sorry.
It's not.
We're not allowed to say Cubs. The baby Bears won the big sports thing with the clubs.
Go team! So what I find really funny about this whole thing, though, is it seems like it was taken right out of the Back to the Future 2 plot. We have Donald Trump as president-elect, and the Cubs have won the World Series.
They only missed it by about a year.
Yeah, I know. They got the year wrong, but they just were preparing us for what was going to be coming up.
It's terrifying. Did you see on last year in 2015, now I can't remember his name. Shoot, who plays Doc Brown?
Christopher Lloyd.
That's it. Christopher Lloyd. Brain fart. Anyway, he did a video with him pulling up in the DeLorean saying, well, it's 2015. We didn't get quite everything right, but your future is what you make of it. And I thought, that's perfect. That was perfect response.
Yes, it is. And they were just a little off. They were just off a year.
And of course, we don't have hoverboards and self-tying shoelaces.
Well, our hoverboards, we have them. They just explode.
They're not. Those aren't hovering. I'm sorry, that's not a hoverboard. That's a segue without a handle.
Them that. All right. Why don't we jump into the random fandom?
You're a wizard.
You are entering the random fandom.
Okay, this is the segment of the show where we talk about the things that you, the fans, send in to us. It's kind of like a pick section where you guys tell us what we should be watching and what we should be paying attention to. And a lot of times it turns into a nostalgia trip. This week we had Joe Dorowski write into us from the Protagonist podcast. He wrote in, and for his random fandom, he said, Saturday morning cartoons / Disney afternoon block of programming after school. Because of the DVRs, DVDs, cable channels dedicated to kids programming, Netflix, other streaming media, my kids will never know how important it was to be in front of the TV at exactly the right minute to watch your favorite show and not caring if it was a new episode or a rerun. Now, if I was a kid still and had the choice between how I grew up and what there is now, I would definitely have to pick the entertainment options available today. But I do remember fondly the way it used to be, even if it meant rushing through chores on Saturday morning to be sure I could watch starting right when the X-Men cartoon started. I had the Saturday morning programming block memorized for when my favorite shows started and on what channel. It seems like we've talked about Saturday morning cartoons a little bit, but I kind of wanted to focus on the Disney afternoon block because that was one that I loved as a kid. And it started at such a terrible time, at least for me, because it started while I was still in school. I didn't get out of school until like 3:15, 3:20, something like that when I was in elementary school. And so and it started at 3 p.m. And so I would miss the first show. But hang on, why don't I... Let's see, I think I found right here a piece of archaeological history. This was something that I loved hearing.
Dude, I can't believe that I remembered all of the words to that. I was just singing along.
Oh, yeah, me too, totally. Yeah.
I can totally believe that you remember all the words, Nick.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm 10 again. That was... that. Oh, my gosh, I have not heard that in so long.
The Disney afternoon that... yeah, so talk about getting home and bargaining with your siblings to watch the shows that you wanted to watch. Because I tell you, when you have siblings... and you only had one TV, and it was a live stream of the TV from the television station to your television, and you couldn't rewind or pause or be like, "Oh, I'll watch that later." I tell you, it was a lot of negotiating going on there.
Well, I always had to negotiate with my mother, and a lot of the times it was like, "I really hope that she's still working downstairs, because then I can turn on the TV and she won't tell me to turn it off when I get home." It's like, "Why don't you go outside and play? Because it's still light outside." It's because I want to watch Tailspin, Mother. I want to watch Tailspin.
Yeah, it was. Parents have lost a lot of bargaining power. I remember that my parents would say, "Well, you can't watch this show unless you get these chores done," kind of like Joe was saying. And by golly, you were going to watch that show, or you were going to be the only kid at school who didn't know how the Morlocks episode ended.
No, I saw that one way too many times. I always knew.
Okay, all right. Sorry. If you would be the only kid at school not knowing how the Mojoverse episode ended.
No. I watched that one a billion times, too. What I never actually saw when I was a young child, until it was released later on Hulu or whatever, I never saw the episode with Morph when he comes back and like how he came back. I always came the episode after that where they were like, "Hey, he's here," you know, like when he was all angry and mean. And so I never saw the episode where he actually came. I just saw the previously on the X-Men. Yes. And so it was quite a treat for me when I was finally able to get some closure in my life and be able to watch that episode. Because it was something that was hanging heavy over my soul for many years.
Okay, all right. Well, let me tell you the shows that were on Disney Afternoon. And maybe, Jeff, maybe you... No, probably not. You were probably still too young for all of this. Because Disney Afternoon ended in 1997. It started in 1990 and ended in 1997.
I was 4?
Well, actually, that would be the perfect time for you, because you could actually see the beginning of the Disney Afternoon theme song, because you weren't in school yet. All right, so
still, though, none of this, that song did not ring a bell. I apologize for my youth, but the... yeah.
So you apologize for your youth now, but when Nick and I are walking with canes and you're just laughing at us, then we'll see who's laughing.
Let's
then, right?
Face it, I'm laughing at you now.
Oh, okay. All right, so the shows in the Disney Afternoon were Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears, DuckTales, Chippendale Woo-hoo. Rescue Rangers.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
You have to. Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop.
Goof Troop. I forgot about that one.
There was Bonkers.
I didn't watch that one as much.
Yeah, that one was geared more towards younger kids. Maybe Jeff would remember that one. Probably
the
not.
Bobcat
no.
That was a police officer.
Yeah. Really? There was an Aladdin cartoon.
I remember that one.
I remember there being an Aladdin cartoon.
Okay, so see, you do remember the Disney Afternoon programming. So this is where I feel like Disney dropped the ball. They had some shows that they only did a couple episodes a week of, and those shows were the Schnookums and Meet Funny. Or the Schnookums and Meet Funny cartoon show. I don't remember that one at all.
I don't either.
they moved Bonkers into that time slot. The next year, Bonkers got its own time slot and every day. But the first year of Bonkers, they shoved it in there. And then Gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
And then the next year, they did Gargoyles and The Lion King's Timon and Pumbaa shared a time slot. And then Gargoyles finally got its own time slot at 4 o'clock. And in the very last season, the combined slot went to Timon and Pumbaa, Quack Pack, and Mighty Ducks. I don't remember Quack Pack, but I remember Mighty Ducks.
I was not watching it during that time.
I remember Mighty Ducks.
I must have been old.
They were actual ducks.
I don't know.
Who used weapons that looked like hockey. I remember that one.
They were aliens.
Oh, I
do
remember that. I remember that. I remember that. But I didn't ever watch that show. So like my heyday was Tailspin, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, Gummy Bears. Like that was when I watched that show more than anything. And then Gargoyles towards the end. But I was starting to grow up a little bit more, and so I needed a more, you know, adult entertainment. And so, you know, now I have graduated to Gargoyles again. But yes, I loved Tailspin when I was a kid. And we went to Disneyland, and all of my sisters were like, I want to meet this princess, and I want to meet, you know, Mickey Mouse, and I want to meet Minnie. And I said, I want to meet Launchpad McQuack. And we found him. I have a picture of me with Launchpad McQuack at Disneyland when I was
Yeah, they had kid. They had a section called Disney Afternoon Alley. I want to say it was where Toontown is now, but it was Disney Afternoon Alley where it was all about these afternoon shows, or Disney Afternoon Avenue. So that's probably where you found him. Oh, no. Sorry. That was in Fantasyland. So,
well, and Toontown was just like that was the new attraction when we went. So it was right after that. So he probably was still around, because I remember Toontown was the huge, like, this isn't the new thing. Come check it out. And, you know, like Chippendale, they had the roller coaster with gadgets, like contraption from Chippendale's Rescue.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And they had like Mickey and Minnie's house. Like, it was a really big deal to have all that stuff. So, yeah, it was cool. They don't have that anymore, the roller coaster, Gadget's roller coaster.
No, I don't remember Gadget's roller coaster when I went this last month.
Well, I'm glad I got to go.
I know you experienced something that kids today just will not understand. You know, it's actually this section was just a genius move for Disney, because it was all about syndication, because they had their Disney Channel and Toon Disney and stuff like that, but they syndicated it out, and every day they had a different episode. Well, not every day, but a lot of days, because it was on every day.
I still love Darkwing Duck, and I have been trying so hard to find a place to watch that online. Like Hulu, like I check on Hulu and I check on like all the time, like just regularly. I'll be like, okay, is there any Darkwing Duck? And I haven't been able to find it, so I got to do that search again. But I just remember combining Disney Afternoon with superheroes. Like, how could you go wrong?
Exactly. Gadget, like, from DuckTales.
Yeah, she was
or Gadget. Oh, what was his name? I'm the duck with one wheel, the mech suit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. What was his name? Ducktron? No. And I even played the video game, like the Nintendo game. I loved the Tailspin video game, and he was in that, too. You had to fight him. The robot.
Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo Duck. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Gizmo Duck.
Yeah.
He was in Darkwing Duck. Sometime, yep. Like in like one or two episodes. The other thing that was funny about Darkwing Duck is he only had four villains. Like, there were only four bad guys in that show.
I never noticed that.
There were only four guys. There was the plant guy. There was the guy that was like his opposite. So instead of having purple, he had black everything and red. And I don't even remember
yellow,
the
right?
Or, yeah, it might have been yellow.
There was the electricity guy.
Oh, yeah.
There was the... He was like
a dog. And
there
was a girl. Wasn't there one girl?
Oh, yeah. She wasn't necessarily a villain. She kind of was. But she was also kind of a love interest. She kind of reminded me of Elvira. Was Elvira her name? Anyway, Jeff, what Saturday morning cartoons did you watch?
Power Rangers, Digimon were the first ones that come to mind. There were a few. Now my mind's drawn a blank, but my first thought was Power Rangers, you know. And now I'm looking back, the original series Power Rangers, I didn't actually see all that much TV series. I just saw the movie. And so it was the series after that, the Zeo, the Turbo, and all that.
Power Rangers Zeo, the one where they had the crystals.
Yeah, they went crystals, and then they learned to drive cars, and then they went into space, then they went into a different kind of space. I used to have this all memorized. Then they became, like, government soldiers, like, different parts of... Anyway, Rescue, that was what that one was called. Yeah, I mostly Saturday morning cartoons, I just remember thinking, I need to be up Saturday morning as early as possible. And then quickly realize, oh, cartoons don't start until a reasonable hour. I don't need to be up at 4. Still, there were times. And luckily for me, we had a TV in the farthest room from my parents' house, so I didn't have to keep it super quiet while they were still sleeping. But still, yeah, I loved watching cartoons in the morning. None of these. I barely know what any of what you just said was existed. I knew about the duck ones, but I've never seen them. Darkwing Duck was one. I remember visiting my grandparents, and they had cable and we didn't. So when it came on, I really wanted to watch it, but it was like at bedtime is when it came on for them for some reason. So I could never Darkwing Duck. Yeah, for whatever channel it was on.
Dude, now I'm starting to remember things. So there was the Liquidator, who was the dog that was water.
Yes.
And then I think his name was Mega Duck or Nega Duck.
Mega. I'm pretty sure it's Mega. He's the electricity one, right? Or
No, that was Mega Volt was the Mega electricity, Volt. And he was like a rat, and he had a plug on his head, like as a little hat. It had a little plug. And then something root, but like probably bush root was the plant guy with the purple hair, and then the girl's name was Phoenix in some way. Wow. I have not thought about this in a while. and then there was a jester guy that had like toys and stuff. So he's kind of probably trying to be their version of the Joker. I think his name was Quacker Jack. That's
when
right.
When you search for Darkwing Duck villains, top things that come up are Nega Duck, Fearsome Five, Magicia Dispel, Phantom Bolt, Beagle Boys. Any of this ringing a bell?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beagle Taurus. Boys. So Beagle Boys actually moved over from DuckTales. They were the crime gang that answered to Ma. Yeah. Anyway, if you don't know this, you wouldn't know it.
And then there was the rooster with a metal beak.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Way too many throwbacks. Yeah.
I think
so,
his name was just Metal Beak or like Steel Beak or something like that. And he was just Jaws from... he was just Jaws from
so,
Bond.
I just realized something, though. Jeff is in this awkward generation that does not know these shows. Because my kids' generation...
I know of them.
Well, you know of them, but you've never watched them. My kids, they've watched these shows. There have been a few times where they have gone on trips with like their uncle, and their uncle puts in the DuckTales DVDs in the DVD player, and they will like drive to St. George for 4 hours and watch nonstop DuckTales. So my kids know these shows, but that's because we've got DVDs and online streaming. So Jeff's just in this generation where his childhood, he did not get the classics that we had. I don't know what was out when Jeff was watching cartoons, but because the only thing that he can remember is Power Rangers, I'm going to assume they weren't great.
I said Digimon.
Pokemon. And Pokemon.
And Yu-Gi-Oh.
That's a big deal. Like that is huge.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. All right. I'll give that. Except you watched Pokemon like in Yu-Gi-Oh. Not the original.
No, I watched it. I saw the beginning. I saw Ash get Pikachu. I saw that.
Was I just a really old nerd then? Because
probably.
I saw that too.
I was. I admit that fully. I was like, yeah.
I was among the generation that cried when he said goodbye to Butterfree. I probably didn't actually cry. But still.
Jeff, we all know you don't cry. You have no feelings.
It's true. I am incapable of emotions.
He is a robot, after all.
Jeff bought 9,000.
I've upgraded. It's 10,000 now. Software updates.
Oh. 10,000. It's over 9,000? Is that what you're saying?
Wow. I just remember, the thing that I remember most about Darkwing Duck is he would always say, like, when he was talking, before he appeared, he always had his monologue, and he'd be like, I am the gum that sticks to your shoe. I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am Darkwing Duck. And then he'd come out, and he was using fear just like Batman.
My cousin has a shirt that is drawn like Batman looking over the city, except it's Darkwing Duck instead. It's amazing.
That is awesome. It makes a lot of sense, like looking at it now, that it was very much inspired by Batman.
I looked up Darkwing Duck on Netflix, and one of the suggestions was Batman.
Yeah, but I have no problem with that. Didn't he his secret base was in the like tower of a bridge, like in one of the.
It was like a clock tower, something like that. It was a
in
tower,
a bridge because
that.
He would drive his motorcycle along the beams.
Up the wall.
Well, he would drive it along the like cables that.
Oh, the suspension beams? Yeah.
Yeah, the suspension beams. That's the word I was looking for. I remember that. His motorcycle was sweet. I drew that a lot. I actually drew Darkwing Duck quite a bit. I should go back and do that.
For some reason, that does not surprise me. That does not surprise me at all.
He was a cool duck. And he was pretty easy to draw. Because once you master Donald Duck, you can draw Darkwing Duck.
Pretty much any duck
so
in the
Disney
universe, right?
What you're saying is it's copyright infringement. I'm kidding.
Disney owns them. And owns Darkwing Duck. Come on, Jeff.
I wouldn't know.
Only when Nick draws it is it a copyright infringement.
It's true.
No, only if I try to sell
that
it.
That's also true.
I can just draw it all I want.
No, copyright law is terrible in the U.S. You can get in trouble for if a kid drew a picture of Mickey Mouse and they displayed it at the school could get a cease and desist letter.
Well, like, I'm not displaying it.
Oh, okay. All right. No public performance.
Here, you want to see my picture of Darkwing Duck? Put on this blindfold.
I'll probably put it on my website if I ever draw one again.
Just don't call it Darkwing
my blog.
Duck. Call it like Black Wing.
So I'll say this is a parrot. This is a parody of Darkwing Duck. Just write that on everything.
Just name it totally not Darkwing
Duck. Call it
Negaduck.
Call it Negaduck.
Negaduck is already taken.
This is not your kid's Darkwing Duck or something like that.
This is not the Darkwing Duck you're looking for.
All right. I really want to watch that again. If anybody knows of a place where I can watch Darkwing Duck.
Besides buying DVDs.
Yeah.
Streaming services.
I don't know. It might be worth buying the DVDs.
I've looked for them too. Like
Costco. Costco had them.
Oh my gosh, they did. They probably
at one point
anymore.
They did.
I know.
Costco
that's
had
the thing
all
about
of
Costco.
Our TV shows. Ugh. They had the Ninja Turtles in the turtle van as the case for the DVDs.
Oh my gosh.
And it was
that's
like $100
because
I
don't
want
to buy
I want this
for
so bad, but I am a grown up and can't spend this much money on something like this.
Oh, sure you can. Hey.
Yeah, we
Darkwing Duck, Volume 1 on Amazon, $10.
Linked in the show note.
Volume 2, also $10.
Do you guys remember from this? Okay, this might be something Jeff remembers, video games. The Disney Afternoon spawned a lot of video games, and there was a DuckTales video game
that
was
on
the NES.
That game.
You
I
were
loved
like
that game.
It had this big old map, and you had to go to like the Amazon, and it was.
I
played
that
game.
A ton.
Okay, so the DuckTales video game, they remastered it, put it in HD, and re-released it on Xbox 360.
They put it on Steam too.
That's how popular it was. And that's how awesome of a game it was.
Yeah. A couple years ago, my brother got me a bunch of games on Steam for Christmas, and that was one of them. And I hooked up my USB original NES controller and just played the heck out of it. I had a blast with that one.
That is so awesome.
So
It's too bad that DuckTales is not included on that new classic NES system that they're releasing.
Or at all. I don't know.
Well, no, it's never going to. It's not going to have any way of updating. Like, it's going to be its own box, and the 30 games that are on it is what's on it. Like, it's going to be like the original Nintendo, where you can't just update it later. Like, what's on there is on there.
I'm confused. So it's not connected to the internet, and you can't just buy... That's not how video games work, Nick. You see, now you just buy a code. You don't even need the disc anymore. See,
I'm just telling you, Jeff, that this is the way it used
to
be.
I'm trying to upset him.
Back in the day.
You know, it doesn't upset me.
I'll try harder next time.
Okay.
That's not my video games.
I have evolved, but I also like to pay homage to history and the classics.
Yeah, my first video game system that I could call myself that I didn't have to ask anyone's permission to play was the 360. So that puts perspective.
I am so old.
No, my parents were strict, and then the first video game systems we got were my brother bought a Super Nintendo from a friend, and then they bought him an Xbox Classic for his birthday. So technically we had video games before, but I...
See, it helps for me. My dad wanted to play these games.
Yeah, my dad was very adamant.
When I was...
We will not have video games in this house. And then, here.
My dad was just a couple years old. My dad bought an NES.
That's
cool. I want to say I was like 4 and my older brother was like 6 and my dad bought us an NES for Christmas. And I looked back to see how much those were back in the day and I'm like, holy cow, he bought that for himself. And then said, no, it's for the kids. My dad did that so often. He bought us things that he also wanted. And so I have learned how to do that with my children.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
All right, so that was the Random Fandom. Saturday morning cartoons, more specifically Disney Afternoon. They kind of don't exist anymore, which is a shame. However, they do exist in Netflix, and they've just taken all of the bargaining power out of parents.
You just have a kid's profile now.
And that's exactly what we do. I've got a kid's profile for
each of
my kids.
Here's your bargaining chip. If you want the Netflix password, clean your room.
And then they just have to, but there's no time limit on it. Because, yes, they want to watch TV, but they can be like, well, I want to do this other thing more. And so they can go do something else. And actually, I think it might be prompting kids to be more active nowadays. Because, like, sure, I'll go play outside, Mom.
Because that show will
still
be there when I go. Okay.
Yep. When I come inside, now I can watch the show.
That's clever. Because, you know, daytime is for playing. When the sun goes down, come watch your TV, you know?
Because my kids live very much in the method where... Kid, where I used to live, like there, where my kids will go outside and they'll play, and they know once it gets 5 or 6 o'clock, as the sun starts going down, they better get their butts home. I mean, they have to tell us where they're at, but they just go to their friends' houses and, Mom, I want to go to Hiram's house. All right, go have fun, and they go play, and then they watch TV at night because they can get their cartoons then. So look at that. The internet makes kids more fit and healthy.
Man, that,
I bet
that
you never heard that
at all. Are you using the same internet I'm using?
You just have to be a good dad.
I'm out.
And we know that Brandon's a good dad. So
look at me being a good dad.
It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? I told you last night. No.
Nope, not a... All right. That was the Random Fandom. If you guys want to contribute to the conversation, if you want to tell us something that we should talk about, send it in to us to random@fandompodcast.com or head over to fandompodcast.com/contact, over to facebook.com/fandompodcast. We have all sorts of ways for you guys to communicate with us, and we just love getting the communications. We love to know what you guys are interested in. So Saturday morning cartoons, that was this week. Next week, we'll probably be talking about some action figures. So if you have a suggestion for us, please send that in. We would love to talk about it. Okay, let's jump into the geek news. Okay, so our first news of the week is that Young Justice Season 3 is go.
I would like to take full credit for this.
Yep, just us.
Because just us. Every night for the past year, I have watched Young Justice before I go to bed.
You know there's not that many episodes, right?
As I'm going to bed. So you know how they were saying that, like, Netflix, if it, you know, gets enough views or whatever, that they would do a season 3? I like to think that I contributed to it because I watched so much Young Justice. I usually only watch the first, like, 2 minutes, and then it just played while I was asleep. But still, I did my part.
I think we all have done our parts. Biggest problem with this announcement, and I mean, I'm super excited it's coming back, yay, is that all this is yes, right? Last I heard it, we're doing it. We don't know when, we don't know where, it's just happening.
Warner Brothers set up a page for to sign up for a newsletter so that you know more about what's going on. And I think that's another test to see, well, yeah, lots of people watch it on Netflix, but how many people are really super interested
in
giving
us
their email?
I'll give them an email address.
And I gave them 5. Just saying.
Hey, I have a second email that's just for that.
I need to set one of those up. I'm super sad for Young Justice. I need to know what happened to Wally. I want it. Nope. Spoiler for people who we don't know that. The Speed Force
he
is
now the Speed Force. He is the Speed Force now. He
you
is
don't
the
know
entity.
That.
It's like the Phoenix.
Resistance is futile.
Darkwing Duck's going to come out and he's going to be like, look out, Speed Force.
There's no way Disney would let their character show up on a DC-themed thing. Maybe
You know what? It could happen.
Darkwing Duck could totally join the Avengers.
It's
Disney,
done.
Make that happen.
That would be cool, actually.
Disney, make it happen.
I mean, it's a multiverse thing, right?
The newest member is Darkwing Duck.
Dr. Strange, and then they bring out Iron Man, be Gizmo like, we need Duck. Help. I know
Dude,
just the man.
Gizmo Duck or needs Duck. To be on it, too. If we're going to have Darkwing, you got to have Gizmo, too.
He's, I want to see the conversation replace... between Iron Man and Gizmo Duck. Because they both have mech suits, and they both... Well, and one of them is just a savvy business person. The other one is just a really smart guy. So that would be an interesting conversation right there.
I just want them to have a discussion about whether or not it's better to have shoes or a Una-like wheel. Because I'm partial to the wheel.
But. It's very aesthetically pleasing.
And he would turn his... He you know, pulls it in, and then he flies. So it's not like it's any different than what Iron Man's got going on.
Yeah, geez. Geez, Tony Stark, where are you at? Okay, so Young Justice Season 3. I will have a link in the show notes to the forum to give them your throwaway email address so that they actually feel like people are responding to
or,
this.
Or, you know, you can give them your real one if you're brave.
That's true. You know what? It's or Warner Brothers. Both. I've given Warner both. Brothers my real email address on some other things before, and I use a Gmail trick where I create a fake alias that just comes into my thing, and I've never seen that fake alias come in other than when Warner Brothers has sent me something, and I unsubscribed to that, and I've never seen it again. So
I'm pretty sure
I actually
Warner
think
Brothers already
that,
has my email. I get shop. Like, hey, check out
yes, that was the one that I always got.
I just haven't had the heart to unsubscribe because it's like, that's a cool looking thing. It's $200. I'm not going to buy it, but that's a cool looking thing.
Yeah, so there, check out the show notes for the link to sign up to find out more about Young Justice Season 3. I really hope that they've gotten it out of their heads that they have to market it just to boys. I think I'm wondering if the DC Superhero Girls hasn't, and the success of the toy line for the DC Superhero Girls hasn't helped out quite a bit, because part of the reason the show was canceled was because too many teenage girls were watching the show and they weren't buying the action figures.
That sounds so backwards. Too many people are watching our
show.
We
don't like
the
demographic that has caught on to
this.
But
sir, it's doubled our numbers. I don't care.
Yeah. Yep.
You're fired. I don't work for you. I've created a
well,
whole
then you should quit.
In my head.
Hey, Jess writing a fan fiction.
He was the intended target audience. He just didn't know it.
I wasn't the intended target audience, but I was still paying attention.
And it infected him. Look at that. Look at that. Okay, our next news story is that Miyazaki is coming out of retirement for another film.
Is it a Young Justice film?
Yes, Young Justice. He is directing Young Justice Season 3. Now, Hayao Miyazaki is coming out of retirement for a film about a caterpillar.
Okay.
But you know what?
Is it the big friendly caterpillar?
No. It's so this caterpillar is so small that it can be squished in your fingers.
Okay.
It sounds like something that he would do. And that's the movie. 2 minutes in. Squish.
So, I mean, it's Studio Ghibli. It's... And it's Miyazaki. He's 75 years old right now, and he's done films like Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, My Neighbor Totoro, Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away. It's Miyazaki. Like, whatever he puts his hands on as a feature film turns out well. This is not the first time that he said he's going to step out of retirement, but it is the first time that he has said that for a feature-length film. Because actually what prompted him to do this film was he did a short called Kimushi no Boro, which is the tale of a tiny caterpillar. And the short came out, and he didn't like how the short came out, so he said, no. Feature-length film. And so it's not technically been greenlit yet, but he said, yeah, I'm doing this. He started the storyboarding process.
Even if he takes it to Studio Ghibli, even if he takes it to them and they say no, his name is enough that pretty much any studio would do it.
Well, it's based off of Ghibli's short film. So technically no, but can you imagine the news if it says...
Yeah, Ghibli refuses, and now their stock goes down to zero, and people riot.
If he just came out and said, hey, I'm doing it, with zero talking to the studio, he's forcing them to do it.
Yeah. Oh,
which I think
completely
would be awesome.
Is. His hopes is to have it done within 5 years, actually less than 5 years. He wants to have it done by 2020 when the Olympics are in Tokyo. He thinks that's a great time to bring the film out.
Oh, you mean that time when there's going to be a ton more people in your country? Yeah, that's probably a good...
that time.
That's probably a good time.
Yep, and he'll be 80 years old at that point, so hopefully he gets it all taken care of and all done. But I'll tell you, something that I've learned about Japanese people is they either die really young or they live forever.
So, do you still qualify as really young, or?
I don't know. I don't think I've, when I say really young, I mean like in their 60s.
I just asked you a question about your death. How does that make you feel?
More self-aware. I am very much more self-aware now. Thank you, Jeff.
You should be.
Okay, so Miyazaki's forcing Ghibli's hand to do another movie, I guess, is what we have respun this headline to say.
Yep, that's what it is. Case closed.
Case closed. He's storyboarding and he's told the press, ball's in your court now, Ghibli. All right, and then our last news story for the night is that Legends of Tomorrow Season 2 has been extended. If you read the headline, you think to yourself, wait, they are already in Season 2, but they were only signed up for a half season, and so 13 episodes. So now they are have been extended. I want to say it's 4 more episodes. I guess I could pull up the news story. But yes, 4 more episodes. So they are going to be to 17, which is weird because it's not technically a full season. But right there is the CW saying, yeah, we like where Legends of Tomorrow is going, and we want to give them some more room to play with some stuff.
Have you guys been watching, or have you guys caught up on it?
I am halfway through the zombie episode. Is that the latest one?
No, there's one takes place during the Reagan administration.
Okay, no, I have not watched that one yet.
I haven't watched that one either.
I've gone back and watched the episode in Japan a couple times because my son is all like, ninjas!
I am in love with Mick. Heatwave, his character is perfect and he plays it perfect. Just the sarcasm of it, like, I can't believe you guys haven't killed yourselves yet. Just taking a drink. Day's still young.
The day's still young.
I was going to say, Jeff, I'm married, so.
Mick, with an M.
Yeah, I know. I was confused.
Nick, I know you're married. I was there.
No, I want Rip Hunter back.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, I felt so bad for Arthur Darvill at Comic-Con because I caught some of his panel and every Legends question he was asked, looking back, you can just tell he was saying, I'm not in it. Spoiler, if you haven't watched the first episode. Like, he's not in it anymore. I mean, he didn't like die or leave, but he hasn't been in it. And so it's just...
That doesn't mean they can't find him.
Yeah, it's true, but that just means that there's even more he can't say.
They need to find him soon, is what I'm saying. Because I need him back. I think that I like the new history guy. Like, he's kind of cool.
Steel? That's his superhero name.
Sure. Yeah.
I forgot. I don't know his real name.
I thought it was funny when they were like, Steel, that's a cool name. And I was like, no, that's a stupid name. Like,
and also another DC character name. You know, you guys remember that Shaq movie?
Yeah, where's his big hammer? Where is his
I want Shaq to come out and start flinging around a sledgehammer, and then I will believe that it's Steel.
You know, I just had a realization.
The
Disney afternoon block grew up and graduated and is now the CW superhero block. Think about it.
Film. That is very much the true statement there. The only difference is that the CW superhero block is later in the day.
Well, it's because now we're all grown up and have jobs and we have to get home from our jobs.
That's true. And we're the exact same demographic that they had before. So here we are.
I mean, it's just a different studio and everything, but still, it's the same concept.
No,
every day
is.
They've
That's
got
really
something awesome. On after work for us. Yeah, I think they captured that exact same market with this.
Like, all those kids that were watching Darkwing Duck are now going to be in my control.
Let's see. Nope. Arrow's kind of like Darkwing Duck. You've got...
I don't ever remember Darkwing Duck doing salmon letters.
He did in between takes. Takes on a cartoon. Yes, that's what Darkwing Duck, the cartoon character, was doing between takes.
Let's see. Supergirl's kind of like Chippendale Rescue Rangers. No case too big, no case too small. If you need help, just call. Anyway, that was just an epiphany that I just had. That I was like, wait a minute, they're doing the exact same kind of a thing. And a lot of people are saying that Legends are excited. The Legends of Tomorrow cast are excited about this because it gets it closer to syndication. Syndication means that they can have that they have 100 episodes, and
bills, y'all.
Yep, and then they can start playing the reruns on other networks like USA will pick up a bunch of syndicated shows. Freeform, is that what ABC Family? You know what? That makes a lot of sense because that's the target demo for Freeform. So Freeform would be a good fit for that. Yeah, so you'll start seeing the reruns. It's kind of like Charmed and Angel and Buffy were.
We know a lot about Charmed.
It's not a show that my mother watches every morning as I'm getting ready for work. every day. And every time an actor from Charmed is on another TV show, she doesn't ever look at me and go, "Hey, Jeff, guess what he was on? He's from Charmed." Every time.
She doesn't do that? Because I'm pretty sure she does, Jeff, and you are...
Sorry, kind of, next time, you know, I'll lay the sarcasm alternate on world. Thicker next time. Did you want to bring up the Johnny Depp thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got some follow-up from last week when we talked about Johnny Depp, about how he was rumored to be cast and rumored to be playing Grindelwald.
Rumors are true.
And that was confirmed.
I feel indifferent. Yeah. I'm not excited about an American being in a primarily British cast, but still.
Boo. I don't know.
There's also...
I'll give him a chance.
You'll still see it.
They're not saying boo, they're saying boo-erns.
I was saying boo-erns.
Why do you do this?
Because you had love in your hands and you gave it up. True love saved her in the fire swamp and she treated it like garbage. So bow to her, bow to her, bow to the queen of slime, the queen of filth, the queen of putrescence.
I think we need to institute a rule that whenever Nick goes on one of these like obscure quotes, that he has to tell us what piece of media it's from after that.
That's Princess Bride.
No.
It's when she's had, from right Princess after it's the old woman yelling at her when she after she marries Humperdinck.
Boo! Boo! Why do you do this?
He said it a little more masculine than the character did.
I could do it in a girly voice if you'd like.
You've already done it once. You've used up your Princess Bride quote.
All right,
quotient. if you quote it again, you can't say one next week. So you know.
So I was just gonna make Nick cite his references where Jeff is going to put in a quota.
I'll cite references anytime you guys don't know where it's from.
So I had talked to Amy Champion about this slightly, and she was not excited about Johnny Depp joining at all, let alone the rumor of him playing this. So, yeah, apparently Harry Potter fans are not happy about any of this decision. I mean, I can't speak for all of them, just the one. Well, the
and
one
the
that
best one.
Cites her opinion.
The true
in an exhaustive
one.
Survey of Harry Potter fans that Nick has in his cell phone... And or Jeff has in his cell phone, it was a 100% negative response. So you can make anything sound technical if you put the right stipulations on it.
My brother brought up something today like, yeah, this team doubled their sack record. And I turned to my mom and went, that just means they could have had 2 sacks this game and won the last game. You know, statistics don't work.
One of my favorite things, I took an AP statistics class. That's actually one of the classes that I had with Nick's wife. And on our AP test, there were two questions. One of them gave us here's a set of numbers. What does it prove? And so we answered it. And then the very next question was, using that same set of numbers, prove the opposite. Ooh. And so statistics are just... You can make them say whatever you want.
At our at my graduation night party in high school, there was a group doing a deal or no deal. And the person hosting it was saying stuff like, oh, last time the money was in case number 3. Is it going to be this time? And there's a group of students who in a statistics class was using deal or no deal as an example. And all of them were shouting, that's not how it works. It's random. It's randomized. It's not that. And it was very angry, and it was very funny to watch. That was
that
nothing
not
to do with
like
anything
my
we were talking
after
about.
After party at all.
I think that's it for the top news. We've got Young Justice Season 3. Go sign up for that newsletter so that you know when it's coming out, where it's coming out, what's happening. Miyazaki's coming out of retirement for another film. Legends of Tomorrow Season 2 has been extended, and Johnny Depp has been cast to play Grindelwald. Okay, so for our discussion, like I mentioned earlier, we've had a tough week as a country in America, and from what I've been talking about with some people that I know throughout the world, it's the whole world's looking at this kind of like, oh crap, what's going to happen now? And so I thought it would be really good to go around the room and talk about the things that we do when we just need to zone out for a little bit. You know, this past month I've had one sickness after another, and so I have, and that's one of the things that you absolutely hate paying attention to when you're not feeling good, is just being sick. And so I've had a chance to dive into a lot of escapist media, and I wanted to give Nick and Jeff a chance to talk about it as well. So for the and to be honest, it seems like this episode of the Fandom Podcast has been brought to you by Joe Dorowski. We appreciate his feedback. He sent me a message on Wednesday saying, hey, you should do an emergency escapist media episode. Maybe he was watching what I was putting on Facebook and was like, dude, he just needs to calm down. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll get right on that and talk about it and those things. And then I realized Wednesday was my anniversary, so I I should really not stay up late to record a podcast episode. But what Joe said was he started watching The West Wing during the election results, and he said that he saw somebody watching Star Trek because of Roddenberry's optimistic futurism, and said, "Hey, there's a lot here to talk about." So he gave us that idea, and I really liked it. So why don't we go through and have each of us talk about our favorite ways that we escape the real world by jumping into some other form of media, whether it's a book or a video game or music or art, however we do it. Let's start with Jeff, Nick, and then I will wrap us up.
Yay, me first. So I spent most of this weekend watching YouTube. I spend a lot of time on it, but I'm not just going to say, watch YouTube. Okay, next. I've been watching mostly Will Wheaton's show Tabletop, and I just started mostly because I was thinking about buying this game, so I went back and watched the episode where they played it, and then the continuous play on my Xbox just said, hey, there's another episode coming, and then there's another one, and another one, and it does sound silly just watching people play board games, but it's funny enough, it's entertaining enough, and it gets your mind off just about anything, and you just think, I really want to play a board game. Like, I'm considering starting a game night just because I just... Board games are fun, and world sucks, so let's play board games.
Let's play in a different world.
Yeah, let's play something like Pandemic, where we're curing the world. Wait.
King of Tokyo, where we're destroying it.
Exactly. So yeah, Tabletop, it's a great... Unless you're not a fan of Will Wheaton's comedy, in which case, it's not for you.
So on the Xbox, and YouTube does its autoplay thing, does it ever say, hey, are you done, or does it just keep playing and playing and playing?
I interrupt it enough to make it think I'm still paying attention. So I think it just keeps playing. Now I think about it, I honestly can't remember a time where YouTube has said, hey, are you still there? Because everyone on YouTube just wants the views.
You can get some really random items in your YouTube history that way.
Oh man, I fell asleep once. And man, it took a turn at one point. It went from watching a Minecraft tutorial to someone's Let's Play about Minecraft to someone else's to someone else's, and it was just like, who are you people? So it, yeah, YouTube autoplay can be fun sometimes.
Yeah, I used to have to tell my wife, no, honey, I promise these things on Hulu that are in my history are not actually. I didn't watch them. I promise you, I'm not watching these weird shows because autoplay does some really
blame
weird
autoplay.
Things.
No, it's not me. It's autoplay. I promise.
Okay. All right. Nick, what is your favorite way to escape?
Well, it depends. Most of the time, I like to play video games. It's a way that I can decompress. And it all just depends on if I want to get immersed into another world and like play something like Fallout or Skyrim or you know, a game like that where I can just kind of do and go and be whatever I want. Or if I really just want to blank out, I'll usually play like a sports game or, you know, like NBA 2K17.
Something without a storyline.
Yeah, something without a storyline. Or I will play a game that has a storyline and do mindless things. So like in Assassin's Creed, when they say, you need to collect all of these stupid flags or whatever it is, and it's just like running around doing nothing for a long period of time, and there's really no purpose other than you get the trophy or whatever the achievement if you collect them all. Sometimes I'll do that, but usually while I am doing that, I'm also watching something on my laptop.
So let me ask you, do you like Assassin's Creed? Because you talk about playing it a lot, but it's always in the context of, oh, I've got to get these stupid flags.
I love Assassin's Creed. I love the games. I love the stories. Sometimes I think there's not enough story because it's kind of like, I don't know.
There's like seven games.
Yeah, I know. And I've only played up until four because I won't buy them new because there's a new one that comes out every 6 months. And so I just wait until they're on sale for $10.
That's fair.
At GameStop, and then I'll play through them. Like two of them I got for free because they were the free game on Xbox Live Gold. So I played Black Flag that way. And I really do love the mechanics of the game. I mean, but you can say the same thing about like Batman Arkham Knight. Like, you got to go collect all the Riddler trophies. Like, that game is awesome, but you can spend hours and hours doing mindless just collecting Riddler trophies. And so that's, you know, it's
so what you're saying is there's not a big difference between the Lego Batman game and Batman Arkham Knight games.
Oh, but now I really want to see Lego Arkham Knight. That terrifying storyline done with Legos. Oh, that'd be hilarious. Someone make that. Make me a video.
No, but yeah. Yeah. That would be funny. I love that somebody recreated the seventh game of the World Series highlights in Lego. It was pretty awesome. Got to see the Cubs in Legos win the World Series. So, yeah.
Like stop motion animation?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But yeah,
now,
so
was it true
these...
stop motion or was it like 3D models?
3D models. Or no, oh, no, okay. It was true stop motion. Like it was some kid like got out his Legos and just moved them. It was pretty sweet. That's... And I think they did put a little CG in it because the baseball was probably really hard to have like.
Yeah, that would be
fly.
Really hard.
I don't
Although,
know.
Like with the right kind of fish string and the lighting the right way. I don't know. That's kind of cool. Are you excited about the? Are you excited about the Assassin's Creed movie? Do you think there will be enough story in that?
I don't know. I'm going to see it. And every trailer that I've seen, because that's one that I was like, okay, I'm going to see a trailer because I don't know if it's
going to
be good or bad. You
need to know which direction they're going.
Yeah, I need to know if it's going to be good. But so far, everything that I've seen was like cool. Like they had the leap of faith and, you know, he's got his little, he's kind of hidden and he's all mysterious and stuff. So it'll be interesting because the thing about Assassin's Creed is there is like a new protagonist in every single game. So, and it's because it's a different time in history, but it's just kind of the same secret organization of the assassins. And so like the first guy was completely different than, you know, Assassin's Creed 2. And then they actually did 3 games for Assassin's Creed 2 because he was one of the most awesome guys. And then Assassin's Creed 3 was like the Americas. It was a Native American guy. Then Assassin's Creed 4 was pirates. So, and I haven't played any of the other ones, so I don't know what they are. But yeah, so it's all different time periods. And so it'll be interesting to see which time period they do this one in. If they're going to start from the beginning and then try to make a franchise like they've done with the games. I don't know. It'll be interesting. But, you know, it's one of those ones where it's like, I'm not going to go see it opening night, but probably what I'll do is I'll wait and see what the appeal, like the critical appeal of my peers is. And if they say, oh, yeah, that was a great movie, you would love it, then I'll make an effort to go out and see it earlier. Otherwise, I'll just go see it at the Dollar or, you know, on Redbox or something.
$5 night.
Yeah, $5 night. I'll probably try to do that anyway. But, yeah, so, yeah. So that's one of the ways that I decompress is video games. And I am very fortunate to have a wife that understands that about me. Because there's just times where it's like, you know what? I just need to go veg out for a little while and play some video games. And she's been very good about that. So props to my wife about
very
that.
Nice.
The other thing I do is I'll draw and I'll paint. But it also depends on what I'm drawing or painting because that can be very stressful. And so the only time that it's not stressful is if I'm just drawing or painting something that doesn't matter. Like it's just whatever I want as opposed to like an assignment or something that somebody has given me and said, hey, this is what I want. Because if somebody comes to me and says, I really want a picture of Darkwing Duck joining the Avengers, I really want that to be good. And so I kind of stress myself out and I say, okay, I got to make this really good. Or somebody says, I want a portrait of my wife.
Probably
yeah, I get really stressed out. No, I mean, it's equally stressful, you know, like, but if I just say, hey, you know what, I want to draw a picture of Darkwing Duck with the Avengers for myself and it's not like a commission, then, you know, it's just, and I'm usually watching shows while I'm doing that, you know, like I'd probably be watching Darkwing Duck to get inspiration while drawing it. So
I have a very limited amount of art that I have created, and most of it's based off of DC characters. And the whole reason behind that is I find it much easier to do and to adapt DC characters to my style because I don't like them as much as I like Marvel characters for
that's
the most
really
part.
Funny.
And so I, you know, I see an imperfection in something like, oh, well, that's good enough. But when I try to do a Marvel-related character, most of the time it takes me 2 to 3 times as long because I'm like, no, I got to fix this, and no, I got to fix that. And yeah, it's kind of funny. I can completely agree with what you're saying. Things that you care about are much harder to is much harder to do in the art realm right there. So
it's one of the hardest lessons for any artist to learn is to walk away from a painting or to stop fidgeting with it. Because a lot of the times you will be going and you'll have this unexpected, you know, moment of inspiration and genius. And then you'll be like, well, if I just, you know, change this line just slightly, it'll be perfect. And then you touch it and it just ruins the whole thing. And then you're like, oh my gosh. And then you spend hours trying to recreate what you just had at the beginning.
But it works for Bob Ross. It works for Bob Ross.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's a struggle that I think any artist is always going to struggle with. And I think that a lot of the times, once you can get past that and you can say, okay, you know what, this is going to be one of the, this is great, I'm not going to touch it anymore. It helps you paint faster, number one. And then it also is definitely a way that you can get better. You
know, I've also
able
found
to recognize that,
I can't do art late at night because then that increases the likelihood that I'm going to do what you just described and be like, well, I'm just going to change this one thing and have it completely ruin everything. But the problem with doing it late at night is you don't notice it. Or at least I don't notice it most of the time.
Yeah.
And so then I look at it the next morning and I'm like, what was I thinking?
Well, and I do that every time. Like, I do that with every single piece of art that I do, is I'll be drawing it and I'll be like, okay, this looks perfect. And then I'll walk away and I'll come back like a half hour later and I'll be like, no, this does not look good. And, you know, or I'll think, oh, this is terrible. This looks so horrible. And then I'll walk away and come back and I'll be like, this looks great. What was my deal? And I think that when you stare at something for so long and you're just nitpicking it all the time and looking at every single detail, then a lot of the times you're not looking at it in a good, you know, with a clear head. And so that's another thing that artists need to do all the time, is they need to step back and they need to, you know, not just stay and paint the whole time. They need to step back and look at it. There's actually a thing that, you know, is a legendary story in, you know, the art history world, that when people used to go and visit Norman Rockwell's studio, they would look down at the carpet, and right in front of his easel, it was just all worn out. Like, the carpet was just super worn out in this big long line right in front of his easel, and then everywhere else it was super nice. And that was because he spent so much time walking back and forth looking at his paintings to make sure that they were right, that it wore the carpet out. And so that's just an example of, you know, when you're drawing, to take a minute every once in a while to step back and look at it and make sure it looks right. Anyway.
Huh. So you need to get immersed, but not too immersed.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, definitely. I mean, definitely that's it. But it's definitely something very important to learn if you ever want to create art and you want to create, you know, good art, is that you need to take a step back and look at it, you know, every once in a while. And some artists even go to the extreme of setting a timer to remind themselves. So they'll tell their phone, you know, in 20 minutes, beep at me, so that they'll be like, oh, you know, and then they'll step back and look at it and they'll be like, okay, now I can change and come back in, you know. And other people just do it by feel. So they'll say, you know what, I haven't done it in a while, I'm going to step back and do it.
It's the message on the Wii saying, hey, every once in a while, get up and leave the room and go enjoy the outdoors.
Oh, the Wii.
Oh, the Wii. Okay. Yeah, I could totally see how you would get to the point where you would forget about any cares while you're working on art, because there are so many complicated pieces that are working together there. Okay, so my main methods of escaping the world, and I just realized we cut Jeff off after his first one, and we said we were all going to have two. So we'll go back to Jeff after me. We'll let Jeff wrap this up.
No pressure.
But no pressure, no pressure. You got to end us on a high note. But for me, my first method of escaping reality is Netflix, and not just Netflix, but shows that have a couple seasons that I can binge, and that are smart enough, but at the same time not too smart. So generally, what it ends up being is network television, primetime shows, where you can have some smart moments in them, but they don't make it too smart because they don't want to lose the casual viewer. So shows that I'm thinking about are shows like Numbers. That's one from back in the day. It has a bunch of seasons. It's about a mathematician who is able to help, I want to say it's the FBI. It's been a few years since I've watched that one. But I just remember just getting, just turning it on and getting just sucked into it and just escaping the world. And here's the cool thing about getting sucked into shows like this. I can still work on other things. So a few years ago for Halloween, I made my kids samurai armor. And that was when I watched Numbers. I turned on this Netflix show and it was intriguing enough that it kept my attention, but it wasn't too complicated that I couldn't be cutting plastic at the same time and lacing up this armor. So it was just the perfect mix of, well, it gives you something to think about, but it also is not too complicated. Currently, the one that I am binging through on the next available season, because I thought, oh, I'll binge this show with two seasons. Don't binge a show with just two seasons, or at least a network TV show, because if it's worth its weight, then you'll be like, they didn't really resolve anything. But the show that I'm binging right now is The Blacklist, the one with James Spader, and
I like that show a lot.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It makes you think about things. It's got a story that progresses from one episode to the other, so it kind of ties it all together. But each episode is its own self-contained villain of the week kind of a show. And the next one that's on my list is was recommended to me by my dad. It's Scorpio. That one's on CBS, and so I've got it via CBS All Access.
You can use it.
I can finally use my streaming service.
Because, you know, that's Star Wars. Take away my geek card. That Star Trek thing is never going to happen.
I know. The more that dust settles, the more that I'm like, yep, this is just going to stay in pre-production nothingness.
Now that you're depressed, what makes you happy?
Oh, you should have waited until I was done to make me depressed, because then it would have been really easy for you to swing in and make it super high note.
Oh, shit. You can edit it and make me look good.
Nope, absolutely not. Not doing that. I only edit it to make myself look good, and I can barely do that. And then another thing that I binged this week, because I had a lot of time to binge stuff, being under the weather, is I finally finished Stranger Things. And that's not one that I would really recommend. It does not fit the mold for everything else that I just talked about, because that's one that you actually have to watch and that you can't really be doing other things while you're watching it. And it's kind of creepy at certain parts, and as a parent, like, it freaks you out at different parts and tugs on all the wrong emotional heartstrings. And it's like don't put yourself in the shoes of the people too much, because then you'll be all terrified about, what if the Demogorgon comes and gets my kids? You know, it could happen. It could happen.
yeah, we don't want Demogorgons in our life.
Yep, no Demogorgons. No, but binging things on Netflix is kind of my first go-to, because I can just literally veg or not. I mean, it just really depends on what I'm doing. And then the next thing that I do, and this is especially if I have to, like, be laying in bed. My smartphones have kind of negated this. I can watch Netflix laying in bed because I don't have a TV in my room. But the next thing that I do is I read young adult fiction. Nothing like War and Peace, nothing super heavy, but a book that I can sit down and I can finish in a half a day to a day. Things like the early Harry Potter books. The later ones take a little longer because they got a little longer. Almost any of the books in the Ender series game, almost any book in the Ender's Game series, those are ones I go to. But then I also go to things like the Percy Jackson books, the Lorien Legacies, which is the I Am Number 4. I've read a bunch of those. What else? Let's see. What else have I read? Matched. That was like a complete Hunger Games ripoff. Dystopian post-apocalyptic future.
Did you ever
future.
Read The Ranger's Apprentice?
Yes, The Ranger's Apprentice. That was another one that I read.
That one's very much one that can take you out and just be like, okay, this is a quick read. But it does get very, very heavy in like the seventh, eighth book, I guess. I don't know when it gets.
Yeah, it gets a little heavier, but at that point, you're so invested in the world that if you've read seven or eight of those books, you're okay with it getting a little heavy at that point. Hunger Games is one that I've read multiple times. One weekend when I was sick, I read the entire Twilight Saga. Like I said, something you don't really have to think about.
How sick were you?
Hey, I
was pretty sick. I was actually pretty depressed, because we had a family party. And I had like a fever of 102.
Oh,
and I was all like, I really shouldn't go and get old people sick. So I'm going to miss this family party. And so I was like, fine, I'll read these. And okay. But Yeah, that's so. I read those one weekend when I was sick. It's pretty much young adult fiction. Artemis Fowl, that's another one that's kind of a fun, no commitment. You read it, and it's got some kind of fun fantasy elements in it. Those are the ones that I tend to fall back onto when I am trying to escape things. And a lot of times it's when I'm just laying in bed and I'm like, I can't move. I will pull out a young adult book. It's nice working for a school district because they have a really good digital library of young adult books. And so that I can just sign in and be all like, hey, I have like twice as many young adult books as the county library does.
But that's awesome. I never thought about that. Maybe
it's just cheating.
yeah. I let's just say I found a job in my target audience. I found the right maturity.
And these are the perks that people didn't even realize you got while you worked for the Granite School District.
Because, let me tell you, money is not one of those perks. Because it's a school district. All right. Okay, Jeff, we are... So I had Netflix and books and... We are down to our last escapist media. Nick took video games and art, and I had a feeling that video games may have been on your list, but you can still use it if you want, because I'm sure it'll be different video games. So go for it.
Video games, kind of. Yeah, I enjoy turning off the sound of a first-person shooter and listening to music or podcasts.
What? How do you play first-person shooters that way? You have to be listening for like the people walking up behind you.
Here's how you do it. To quote Pixels, you pretend you're the guy and you don't want to die. that's how you do it. And plus, I mostly did it when playing online because I was sick of people talking
well,
to each other.
You mute the voice channel.
I need a sniper rifle. Somebody give me the sniper rifle.
Yeah, something like
who
that.
Who has the sniper rifle? I need the sniper rifle. Give me the sniper rifle.
Just change your class so you have a sniper rifle, dude. Anyway, but... And I, instead of muting each individual player, I just thought, hold on, I can just mute my TV and then listen to whatever I want. So that was part of it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I tend to impulse buy stuff. Like, Amazon is not my friend sometimes. But yeah,
speaking of that, you can use fandompodcast.com/Amazon.
Yeah, you're welcome there, Brandon. but, you know, occasionally, I don't know, there are just so many little things. And unfortunately, one of those is avoid certain coworkers. I have a coworker who wore a hat that said a phrase about America and greatness. And I just knew, okay, I can't talk. I can't start a conversation not work-related with this guy. Luckily, I work in another building. But anyway, so avoiding people is kind of, you know, control your newsfeed. You know, if social media, stay out of it for a little while if you need... Nothing will... If you're in a bad mood, social media is not what you need.
I actually deleted Facebook off of my phone for that exact reason. Yeah. I was like, I'm just getting in arguments with people. I need to get off of this.
Well, even... Not even arguments. More like there are some days it's like, oh, it's Friday night and I don't have anything to do. I'm bored. Yeah, well, guess I'm not doing anything. And next morning you see a group of friends did something. That's just going to make you depressed. So maybe... cut out social media altogether. I don't know.
You know what I've done to prevent that problem? I've actually got a different solution for that problem.
Oh, yeah?
Just get rid of friends.
Just get rid of friends.
And be like, I'm not going out and doing anything anyway because I don't have any friends. And it fixes all those problems.
You know, what's funny is I recently celebrated my 5-year class reunion. And a part of me was like, I don't know if I really want to go or not or blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, well, what else are you going to do that night? Huh? What other plans do you have that night? And it's like, oh, great. I will be there. So control your environment will help, and buy yourself nice things.
Go binge shopping.
Yeah.
So Jeff is a lot like
binge watching.
So it sounds like to me that Jeff is a lot like when Miss Piggy was trying to, make Fozzie Bear happy again after he broke up with his girlfriend. He was really depressed, and she took him into a room and showed him all the things that she had bought him, and said, "This is how you fill the void." And he's like, I don't want this foot massager. And she's like, but it's so nice. Like, that's just what I heard. Is that bad of me to say?
Retail therapy.
Retail therapy?
It's not terrible.
Yeah. I think it also, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I've noticed the biggest impulse buy for me is probably a pop vinyl. Like, it's if I'm ever in a weird mood and I see one I don't have in my general Marvel movie theme, I just kind of go, Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't have Taskmaster yet. Let's just get Giant Man? Sure. Thank you.
No, I keep seeing that little... He's got this little shelf, and they're all on the top of a shelf, and it just keeps getting taller.
It's growing.
And taller and taller. Soon it's going to reach the ceiling.
Yeah, pretty sure it's going to fall over on me before it reaches the ceiling.
Let me give you some advice right now. As an old married man, get all your toys now, because when you get married and when you have kids... All your toy buying turns into, what do my kids want? What would they like? And then if you're clever enough, you can find ways to be like, oh, my kids want an Xbox One. I will get an Xbox One. But it takes a lot of convincing of your spouse.
You definitely get a lot more selective in your choice. You say, okay, yes. Do I really need this? Or do I don't really need this?
I have been known to buy pop vinyls for my children that have ended up in my office for a little bit.
Yeah, and that's something that advanced quickly. That escalated quickly for me. You know, I got one little Captain America one for Christmas one year. And then it was like, well, sure, why not buy Ant-Man, Yellowjacket, and Thanos? And then it's just exploded.
You got to get his whole team, and then you got to get the Avengers, yeah. And you got to get the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. Oh, and then why don't you jump over into the Marvel Comic Universe
and throw in a couple Power Rangers and Finn, and you've got yourself a collection.
I still only have 60s Batman and Robin.
Did you actually get the ones you needed?
Yeah, I got both of them.
Oh, you have Batman and Robin. Now you're just looking for Joker.
They're sitting right on. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to get Joker too. I don't know, because then I'd have to get Catwoman, right? And then I'll have four of them.
That's how it works. That's how.
And that's why. That's why I'm not buying them. But I mean, we did at the last Comic-Con invest in all of the pop vinyls for Dark Crystal.
One way or another, Lena got them all.
And they're sitting here on my desk right next to me.
On your desk?
So Lena got them, but they are on your desk.
Well,
it's
just because there's no place to put them other than
my
studio. That's
the Cobra-proof place.
You know? We haven't figured out a shelf or something. I have a friend that lives just around the corner, and he did the same thing kind of Jeff did. He said, okay, well, I really want to get the Ninja Turtles. So he bought the four Ninja Turtles and Splinter. And then he put them all up on a shelf, and he's like, well, that looks stupid just having those ones there. And so then he had to buy all of the Avengers, and then he had to buy all of and now he's just got shelf to shelf in his basement of them. And he's like, this is bad. This is bad. He's like, I'm such a completist that, you know, I can't just get one. And that's what he's always lamenting, but also really proud of.
And that's why there's always 7 or 8 booths at Comic-Con just selling those. Because it's very easy to collect and very easy to get lost in. So there you go. Get lost in a collection. You know, another thing I have is I stopped counting at 300, but I collect playing cards. And every time I go to a store, I see a new one I don't have. And it's awesome. But there's a lot of them. They're heavy. Anyway.
I do like what Jeff said is collections are a good way to escape. You know, whether it be comic books, trading cards, you know, baseball cards, whatever you want, pop vinyls. I think that was awesome. I like that.
Avoid coworkers and buy stuff. There you go.
Coin collecting.
Stamps. Yeah.
Sure.
Now we're getting to the real geekery. So I'm trying to find a total number of pop figures, and I'm on a board from 2014, and it says that, and the first comment is, I don't think we'll ever have a pop completionist anymore. There are just so many out there. In 2014, there were 118 of them, and I know there are like 100, there are easily like 180 now. I'm just pulling a number out of thin air, but
that sounds way too low. I'm sorry.
Really? You think so?
A little bit.
Considering that there's like one 60s Batman of like every color.
Yeah, and then there's Batman, and then Batman holding a surfboard, and then Arkham Knight Batman, and then Arkham City Batman. You know, there's... Unless they're choosing individual characters, maybe?
There's like three, okay, so, there's like three variants of each doctor.
Yeah.
Huh. So there are a ton. So let's go with 600 of them then.
Closer. If you know the exact number, write in.
Yes. All right. Okay, guys. I think this is probably a good place for us to wrap it up as I'm racking my brain now trying to figure out how many pop figures are out there. It is not an easy thing to Google. Like, you would think that... It would be one of those things that Google pops up and says from the pop website saying there are currently this many, but like it's a closely guarded secret.
A wiki or something that shows every single one.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe I can do some more research after the show. But thank you for listening to the Fandom Podcast. I hope we were able to help you escape that daily grind. See what I did there, escape. And we're talking about escapism. But I hope we maybe made you smile, introduced you to a new fandom. If we did, go over and subscribe at fandompodcast.com/iTunes, fandompodcast.com/Android, or just search Fandom Podcast in your favorite podcast app. If you want to be part of the conversation, go ahead and head over to the Random Fandom and submit by emailing random@fandompodcast.com or by contacting us at facebook.com/fandompodcast. And then if you want to help support the show, we are getting close to Christmas, and you can use the Amazon link, fandompodcast.com/Amazon, to head over to Amazon. It tells Amazon that we sent you, and they give us a little bit of kickback of anything that you purchase. So until next time.
Game over, man. It's game over. Game over.
Play more games.
May the fandom be with you.